This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it has been an interesting couple days in Caps world, going from one of the healthiest teams in the last 2 years to having some major injuries we got to talk about. Joining me, as always, he's not injured. He's going to be here. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Well, I'm not injured, but I am sick, so there's that. But at least I finally know what's been going on, or have a good theory. But otherwise, I'm good, Brandon. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm good. I'm good. Glad you got everything figured out. Look how dedicated you are to the podcast world. Coming even though you're sick, talking Caps hockey.
I mean, I don't have to go anywhere. I'm literally in my house.
Well, that's good. But, all right, let's talk about it. They've had a couple games since we talked last. Let's see, they went up against New Jersey, got embarrassed in Philadelphia, and then lost to a potential arch rival in Toronto on the 17th. Let's talk about that New Jersey game first. The Caps won 5-2, but big news out of that game was that Matt Niskanen has been injured and that he's going to be on long-term injury reserve. And in his place, we have Madison Bowie. First off, before we talk about Bowie, let's talk about Matt Niskanen. What does it mean to this team to lose Matt Niskanen at this point? I mean, it's still early on in the season, but are we kind of seeing the depth problems that the Caps have right now?
Well, it's not so much they have a depth problem. They've got plenty of that. The depth just doesn't have any experience. So you got Bowie coming up making his NHL debut. You've got Christian Juice coming up making their NHL debut. And it's not just for a game or two, and then they get to go back down and continue, blah, 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 continue their progression. It is a situation where they're going to have to be playing and probably playing big minutes or, you know, medium minutes where they're going to be out there a lot and they're not necessarily at that point in their career where they're prepared to do that. So if you go back and you look, and I remember this game because my dad made fun of me for it because he's a Buffalo Sabres fan, being from outside the Buffalo area or just inside the Buffalo area or something like that. And from Batavia, technically. And Braden Holtby, one of his first few call-ups, maybe his first few call-up, they were playing at Buffalo, and he got embarrassed. But I believe it was Tomas Vanek. And now he has a Vezina. So it's not to say that these guys are going to be bad. They're not going to be good NHLers. But if you looked at Madison Bowie's game against Philly, I know we haven't gotten there yet, it didn't look great. So there's going to be nights where Juice and Bowie look not so good. And Aaron Ness are going to look not so good. It's going to take time for these guys to catch up to the NHL's speed and skill and be able to play in the way that this team needs to make a long playoff run.
Has Aaron Ness had a good game yet?
Yeah, he said, you know, that hip check in the I feel like it was the opening night. That was so fugly. He tried to Dmitry Orlov somebody and it didn't work. But yeah, I don't know. Kind of.
All right, well, I mean, Matt Niskanen being out, it really sucks. He's definitely a veteran and a leader in the locker room, but this means more minutes for John Carlson, which means his price tag is going to go up later on in the year, and we don't have to worry about that right now. But he's going to miss at least 10 games, 24 days at a minimum. That's why he's on long-term injury reserve. So I guess it's kind of good it happened early in the season. So potentially, if the Caps make it to the playoffs, he can be there and be healthy. But let's move on. Actually, before we move on, I know the Caps have a lot of cap space problems, don't have a lot of money, but does something like this happening so early on in the season make you kind of think maybe we should have paid a little bit more money for Carl Alsner to stay around?
Where are you going to get that money from, though?
I know, but like I'm just saying from like a player standpoint. Like you want veterans, you want them there, but I mean, I know they couldn't keep them because of the price, but like
it's not just the price. Like you literally don't have the cap space for it. Okay, so here's one way it could have worked. It wouldn't have worked for Alsner. Let me look up real quick what he's making. But my brother and I were talking about this when Niskanen went down, and we were texting back and forth. And there was a way for them to sort of have a better way to make this work, but it's not keeping Carl Alsner. I clicked the wrong team. Hold on. I'm dumb.
If you're dumb, where's you Montreal don't get the podcast.
They have a nice. They have 8.3 million in cap space. How the damn Arizona's got 15 million in cap space? I'd love to be them right now. I mean, you know, for their cap space, not and the probably warm weather, not so much the fact that their team's, you know,
Arizona.
Alsner is getting 4.625. Yeah, you couldn't have made up. Well, if you got rid of Tom Wilson, you'd have enough. But anyways, okay. So my thought, and I went over the money, and I'm pretty sure this is correct. If you had protected Schmidt and let and unprotected Eller, and maybe Eller goes, whatever. Like, they could have figured out another way to fix that. Maybe, maybe not. And bought out Brooks Orpik. Yes, they're technically still in the same position they're in now with Niskanen going down. You just have Schmidt in for Orpik. And while that may not be the best thing in terms of a veteran presence, Schmidt has more long-term potential. And it saves you, if I did the money right, I'm pretty sure I got it right, $700,000 in cap space, which is not a ton, but it adds up. So I financially, that would have been the better move, and I think long-term for this team, that would have been the better move. However, when you have young guys like Juice and Bowie, a lot of the things you hear about Brooks Orpik is that his veteran presence in the locker room is phenomenal. And you need that for these young guys. Because if you don't have Orpik, you have Niskanen, who, I mean, I'm not there. I don't know his veteran leadership, and maybe he is an outspoken guy in the locker room who keeps guys in line. But if you remember guys like Mike Knuble, who will stand up in the locker room and say, we're not having this kind of negative game anymore. If you remember, like, from the 24-7
right.
against the Penguins, where the Caps went on that terrible run, and they're blown out by the Rangers, and Ovechkin fought Brandon Dubinsky, I think, just to get people, like, fired up. That was pretty funny. And so if you, you know, maybe Niskanen's like that, but it sounds like Orpik is more like that kind of guy where he does things the right way and he teaches the young guys. If you don't have Orpik, you have Orlov, Carlson, and Niskanen. And Schmidt to some extent, but I don't know if Schmidt's really a guy who's going to lead you so much as he's just incredibly goofy. So you don't have that veteran presence who's going to be able to come in and help these young guys like Bowie and Juice. Potentially. I don't know. Maybe that's not true. I don't see Orlov necessarily as that guy at 26, and maybe he could be, but he's still kind of young himself, even though he's getting paid like a star player. Carlson could be. I don't know. But I think financially and long-term, keeping Schmidt and losing Orpik with a buyout, even though you have $2.5 million in cap space, you still have – or a dead cap space, you still have that extra $700,000 and more long-term guy in Nate Schmidt, who's playing big minutes for, if I remember correctly, the 5-1 Vegas Golden Knights right now.
Vegas Golden Knights are legit, man, and they have a copious amount of defensemen that we'll get into a little bit later, but yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's funny you should bring that up, because there's a whole thing about that we got to talk about.
Yeah, so... like,
before- and now they're not getting Schmidt back.
Before we get to that, though, let's talk about Madison Bowie. He came in. He's taken the spot of Matt Niskanen right now. And you and I were talking before the season started, and we said how Madison Bowie should be a part of this team, how shocked we were that he was starting the season in Hershey. We expected to see him called up. I don't think any of us expected to be this soon. But what did you think so far from Madison Bowie? Because he looked like he was outplayed, outclassed in Philadelphia. So I'm going to give that one to, you know, first game jitters. And then he goes up against Toronto, and he looks like a legit defenseman. What were your thoughts?
I think he played like a kid in his second NHL, in first and second NHL games. You know, he had some good spots. He had some not so good spots. He had some bad spots. He had some spots where you're like, get on the bench, kid. You know, it's going to take time. I didn't expect him to come in and we'd be like, yeah, this kid's great. Second coming of Nick Lidstrom. He's just, you know, he's a guy that's going to take some time.
And we'll see what he has. And like you said earlier, I mean, I don't think everybody knows he has the talent, but it's just that, you know, maybe get some NHL experience and go back down to Hershey and come back and kind of go back and forth for a little bit to gain some experience. But no, he's being thrown into the deep end, and he's expected to take the spot of a veteran guy like Niskanen. So he's got to learn quick, and hopefully he can do it. He's shown great skill in Hershey. I believe he was with the Winterhawks before that, and he was a big get for us in the draft a couple years ago. So we'll see what happens with him going forward. But Bowie right now, it looks like he's here for at least a month or so. So we'll see what happens. But the Caps have three guys right now, right, on defense that were full-time Bears last year. So, I mean, is this...
Yep.
There's nothing else the Caps can really do, but is it... It's not really unexpected to have these guys kind of struggle in the first, like, month or so of the season, right?
No, not at all. I mean, you have to expect that they're going to have these problems right now. It's 100% going to be the problem because you have, like you said, three guys that were full-time Bears last season. You got two making their NHL debut this season. And you've got... Carlson, who's doing well, Orlov, who's doing well, and Orpik.
Right.
So it's not something where you're expecting them to come out and be able to blow out teams. So I'm not sold on any one of these guys just yet, but they've done okay. I think Juice is acclimating himself a little bit better than Bowie at this point, but he's also had, maybe two extra games.
No, I think two, because he started his season with Pittsburgh. Yeah.
So I'm not overly concerned at the moment. I think it's just, we talked about how this team isn't going to be as good as last year. They're going to have growing pains.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we can really expect. And to get off of away from defense for a little bit, let's talk about another injury. Tyler Graovac, everybody's favorite vacuum sounding guy.
Don't steal my joke, man.
he's sucking up some time off because he got injured in the game in Toronto, and it looks as if he's going to be out for a little bit. They're saying it's an upper body injury. He's going to miss a couple games, but we really don't know if it's long term, if it's short term. We don't know what he injured. Looks like it might be a shoulder, but what's it mean to lose Graovac at this point?
I'm not overly concerned. You still have Connolly, Wilson, Chason, whatever his name is. You got Walker. You got Smith-Pelly. So, losing great. He was playing okay, but I don't think it's going to hurt the team in the long run.
Do you see potentially a Hershey Bear coming up and maybe sitting for a little bit as an extra guy, or do you think the Caps stay with what they got for
I think they go with who they've got. I think you'll see, with Wilson back, I think you're going to see Walker and Smith-Pelly rotating through.
You know who I would love to see Beagle play with? Alex Chason. I don't know. I just have a feeling those two would gel well together on a line, and we haven't seen that yet.
It'd be interesting.
I'm intrigued, so hopefully we'll see that at some point, but I don't know. Tyler Graovac, I mean, he was making an impact on the team, and then he's out, so it'll be interesting to see what they do, but it looks like Nathan Walker is going to see a little bit more time than originally was expected.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll probably get the same amount. It may just be an extra, depending on how long Graovac is out, he may get an extra game or two, and he was probably going to get it, and we may see a guy like, I don't know, Connolly sort of pressing a little bit. Maybe they'll put him on or Chase on, give him a game off, and put both of them in the lineup.
Right.
I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see what'll happen. They've got a couple games coming up, and then they go on their first big road trip at the end of the month. So that'll be interesting. And
Western Canada road swing.
That's right. That's when the horse show comes to D.C., and the Caps have to leave for a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about the losses to the Flyers and the Leafs. I mean, they just got completely shellacked by the Flyers. I mean, just a terrible game to watch. And the Maple Leafs, I mean, without Braden Holtby, it could have been another 8-0 game or something like that against Toronto. But Holtby really was able to stand on his head and make it just a 2-0 game. Are you worried about anything, or is this just growing pains?
I think that game was a fluke.
The Flyers game?
I'm not overly concerned.
I mean, it'll be we'll see what happens. But what about Toronto? They're very fast. They have a great offense right now. Braden Holtby was.
Yeah, they only gave up one goal that wasn't an empty netter. So I'm actually not. I actually thought the Toronto game was me looking at the team going, "Where the hell did the offense go?"
Right.
But defensively, I thought they were actually better. I thought goaltending's been really good. I do think the Flyers game was an anomaly. You know, we saw the Penguins get blown out earlier in the season, and they're defending champs. So, I don't think it's as big of a deal as we're making it out to be.
All right.
I'm not overly concerned about it, so we're going to answer your question.
Now, what about Toronto, though? I mean, it was 2-0. They don't have the greatest goalie. I mean, he's been on a little bit of a cold streak till he came to Washington. And Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, all those guys, they weren't able to put anything on the board. I mean, the Toronto defense isn't that good. Their goaltending isn't that good. Why weren't they able to find the back of the net?
I don't know. I'm not on the coaching staff.
Your name's Coach Dan.
Yeah, but you gave it to me. It doesn't count. No, I think part of the issue is, you know, you go through little spells and we look. I mean, where did it go? I had the stats up and I closed it. Shoot. I think the stats show that we've got a lot of good scoring from the top line guys, and it drops off pretty dramatically. I mean, you got Backstrom and Kuznetsov leading the team with 11 points. Ovechkin's got 10. Oshie's got 8. Then it goes down to 5 with Vrana, 4 with Carlson. Then he drops to 2 with Connolly, Juice, who's got 2 in 4 games. Devontae Smith-Pelly's got 2. Burakovsky's only got 2 in 7. He's got to step up. Eller's got 2. Walker's got 1.
Burakovsky did step up I believe, the Philadelphia game. No, it was the Jersey game, in the New Jersey game.
Yeah,
sorry.
We got into a fight. But, we're, you know, he's got to step up offensively or he's going to find himself in the press.
Oh, hold on, we got to talk about that fight, though. That was like the cutest fight I've ever seen in my life. Burakovsky throwing fists was just adorable.
How dare you touch my friend?
I mean, good for him standing up for his teammate, but like, dude, come on now. You're not a fighter.
It was a little weird.
He posted a picture a couple off seasons ago of him holding his fists up, and it was during the off season. And he was training, like doing MMA stuff or something. And Wilson and Lotta, I just remember ripping him up on Instagram.
Yeah, probably.
Wilson's though, he seemed a little impressed by Burakovsky's fight. Burakovsky was showing him highlights on the bus afterwards.
Of course, and he was messing with Ovechkin the next day. And then that didn't go so well.
He's a Mr.
But going back... Yeah, right. Going back to the offensive side of things, Burakovsky's only got 2 assists in 7 games. That's nowhere near good enough.
No.
And Orpik has an assist. Dmitry Orlov has 0 points.
See, that's why I was a little worried about signing him to a long-term deal. I've never been the biggest Orlov fan. And I would have rather kept Schmidt.
I like Orlov. I like the long-term deal. No. Orlov, good long-term deal is just too much money. But can we talk about the fact that the only defenseman to score a goal right now is Christian Juice? What the hell? Like, what's going on there? That's not good. Defensively, this team is not doing very well at times. And, I mean, the Toronto game, I actually thought they played well defensively. They just, from what I saw, I mean, going to the doctor and then getting meds and all that stuff, I didn't catch as much of the game as I would have liked. But it looked like defensively they played well. There was a breakdown at one point, and Toronto made him pay. And that's what happens. I think that game's more about offense. But then you look at guys like Burakovsky, who are not stepping up offensively. You look at someone like Connolly, who you'd hope to have more points. He's got 2 points through 7 games. You know, you think Carlson would put in a couple of goals here and there. And, you know, Verona at 5 and 7, that's actually not bad. But, you know, you can't have all the offense coming from Ovechkin. With goals scored, you've got Ovechkin with 9, Oshie with 5, Backstrom with 3. Verona's got 2, and then we got Connolly, Juice, and Walker all have 1. So there's a whole lot of guys, including Kuznetsov, who have not scored a goal yet this season, and that's a problem.
That's a big problem, and that's a problem showing its ugly head early in the season. Usually we don't see that kind of non-scoring to the playoffs. So let's hope they figure it out early on in this season and then can keep going through April and scoring more
goals. Hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
So I was playing with Cap Friendly's armchair GM, and I made my move that I was talking about in regards to buying out Orpik, and had they hung on to Schmidt. And currently, if this is correct, the team has about $29,000 in cap space. This is with Niskanen on the roster, not on long-term injury reserve, and it does include Madison Bowie. If you make that move, you have just over $800,000 in cap space. Now, neither of those numbers are great, but there's a significant difference between those two numbers later on in the season when you want to trade for a guy at the deadline. So this team has a cap problem, and my guess, either they're not going to make a trade at all at any point this season, or they're going to move out someone who's making a decent amount of cash. Grubauer is only $1.5 million that you would be saving, but then you also have to spend some of that in bringing up Phoenix Copley, or if it's Vitek Vanacek or whomever it may be. So half of Grubauer's, if not a little less than that, will go into that other goalie. So you're only saving about $750,000 there. So I'm looking at them potentially moving out someone like Wilson with $2 million or Eller at $3.5 million. Or, if they can, Orpik.
Orpik ain't going anywhere, dude. I mean, I know you can dream it, but that ain't happening.
I don't think it's happening either, but I don't see how else. Well, it just seems like McClellan, I think he's just botching this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But, like, you're saying trade deadline. Is there a chance that we could maybe see a trade earlier than that? I mean, this Matt Niskanen injury has definitely shown that the Caps could use another veteran leader on defense, that maybe these rookies aren't working out as much as they had hoped. I mean, I know it's early in the season. We're only 2 weeks in. But at the same time, you got to look at that 8-2-2 zip score and go, man, our defense is really lacking here. Could like, maybe by Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that, we could have a new defenseman, maybe one less goaltender that we're used to on this team?
I think so. I just don't know how you get the money to pull that off. That's the problem, because if you trade Grubauer, I'm assuming you're talking about Grubauer and not Holpe as the goalie you're going to trade.
No.
You trade Holpe and you got a ton of cap space, but you're not going to do that.
I think it's a package deal for a defenseman. I think Grubauer and then someone else goes.
Okay, my point is then, okay, I see. So, like, hypothetically, you trade Wilson and Grubauer.
Yes, and you get one really good defenseman. That isn't Kevin Shattenkirk.
Stop it. That's $4.5 million in cap space you'd be saving, probably more like $3.75 million, because you have to bring up a goalie. That's a possibility. And I think with the way this team is right now, you could move out a guy like Tom Wilson. He's only 23, so he still has a long career ahead of him. But you kind of have a replacement, not in the physicality aspect of things necessarily, but with Connolly, Chiasson, Walker, Smith-Pelly, and Graevac, you have guys that are cheaper that can probably do similar things, at least offensively. Maybe not in the playoffs, because Wilson did play quite well offensively last year in the playoffs. But in the regular season, Wilson has not been known to put up a lot of points. And for the money he's making, he needs to put up those points. And for a team that is strapped for cash and needs to replace some of these young guys with a veteran, you have to make a move like that to be able to free up the space. So to be able to bring in a guy. So if you're going to do that and you're not going to move out Orpik, you're going to have to move a guy like Wilson. You're going to have to move someone who has some value to other teams.
I think that they are looking at Wilson's potential right now. I think that's the reason why Alex Chiasson became a part of this team. Because with Chiasson in there, you have somebody who's like, oh, if Wilson doesn't work out, we have this other guy we're kind of grooming. So like, if Alex Chiasson out of nowhere just goes on this streak and does really well, I think then Tom Wilson gets the door. Otherwise, if Chiasson kind of flounders, then we are going to see Tom Wilson throughout the entire year. I think Wilson's kind of on, he's kind of treading water at this point in his Caps career.
Wilson's got 3 games played, and he's got 15 penalty minutes. Chiasson's got 6 games played, and he's got 2 penalty minutes.
Yeah, you see, you want your players out of the box.
Burakovsky's leading the team in 17 penalty minutes. What the hell is going on with this kid?
Wow.
He really does think he's Tom Wilson.
He thinks he's a big, tough guy, I'm telling you.
Apparently.
He's like a Pomeranian, always trying to take on the big dogs.
Well, it's funny you should – not the dog thing, but the fact that you were bringing up the whole Caps making a trade thing, because Sportnet's – there we go – Elliot Friedman released his recent 31 Thoughts column.
Okay.
With one of his thoughts being that the Caps are looking to trade for a defenseman. Now, everyone's talking about Vegas because they have 793 defensemen. But word is that Vegas wants to move out left-handed defenseman And I believe Schmidt shoots from the right.
Hey, they're not. Yeah, they're not letting Schmidt go. We know that.
I think my understanding is Schmidt is playing big minutes. They're not going to let him go. The piece talks about, so it's the sixth point in his 31 thoughts or sixth thought or whatever. And he says, it's no secret Washington is looking for defensemen. Everyone talks Vegas, but Capitals and Golden Knights couldn't make a Philip Grubauer trade to protect Nate Schmidt in the expansion draft. No, you don't. You protect Schmidt and you leave Eller available, morons. Or even Wilson. So I don't know how easy it will be. Vegas' preference is to move from the left side. Tuesday's three scratches all shoot that way. Jason Garrison, Braden McNabb, and Griffin Reinhart. Another lefty shot, Lucas Pisa, has 4 assists in 6 games. I don't imagine they're going to move him out. And I don't think they necessarily – I mean, they put Fleury recently on IR, if I saw correctly, but I don't think they're going to take Grubauer. I think maybe you can move – maybe they take Tom Wilson?
Yeah, what that's the other question. What team is in need of a goaltender right now? That's going to tell you where your biggest trade bait is.
I don't know. I'd have to look.
Yeah, like are the Winnipeg Jets in need of a really good goaltender? The Calgary Flames bring on Jagr. I mean, they're willing to do anything. Could the Canucks use somebody? I'm thinking out west. Could the Kings have somebody with Jonathan Quick? He's still with them, right? I believe he is.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's what you got to look at. Despite what the Caps need, you also got to look at the team that they're willing to trade with. So if there's somebody out there who doesn't need a goalie, then we're just kind of sitting there and we're stuck with what we have. So you got to look at it at both sides. But Vegas, I mean, yes, they did lose Marc-Andre Fleury, which if you go back and look at the hit that he got, there is no way he should have stayed in that game. I think they did more damage to his head letting him stay in that game. So that's a really terrible medical training they have on their bench. But anyway, Vegas, there's of course a connection there with George McPhee. So, of course, that's going to be the first thing people think of when the Caps are looking for a trade.
Dallas might want a goalie.
Dallas, that could be another landing spot, sure.
Maybe.
And it's Cody Eakin. He's with the Golden Knights again, right? So, I mean, it's really the Caps West out there. They got Nate Schmidt, Cody Eakin, all these guys that McPhee drafted long ago.
I have to take back my Dallas Stars comment. Hold on. I was looking at an article on Sports Illustrated, but it turns out it was from last year. I was paying attention. Let me check their roster real quick. But if their roster is what I think it is, goaltending-wise, they might be – I don't know. I mean, the other problem is, who do they have? Oh, they have Ben Bishop. Never mind. Maybe not.
Yeah, they're probably fine then.
I forgot about that. I mean, maybe.
I mean, we'll see. But anything else going on in Caps world we got to talk about?
We talked about Niskanen. He's out on long-term injured reserve. He's out until November 7th. Eller missed the game against Toronto with an illness. I can't say anything because I'm also sick. Baxter was named the NHL's third star of the week for last week, scoring 3 goals and 6 assists. So congratulations for him.
Yeah,
it's kind of a no-name thing. Kuznetsov is the first player since Joe Thornton in the 2012-2013 season to record 11 assists in his team's first 6 games. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it for the Cap stuff right now. Congrats to Bowie making his NHL debut. His dad unfortunately couldn't see it. His plane got delayed, so he wasn't able to make it in time. But he got to see him play in the game against Toronto at Capital One Arena.
Of the two, that's probably the better one to watch.
I would imagine.
is that it for Caps World?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think this trade thing we'll keep an eye on, but I don't have any time soon. I think right now McClellan's going to go with the young guys and see how they do. And if they struggle, he'll definitely, I think, look into making a trade. And if the team overall struggles, he still may look to make a trade. I think he has to. He needs to bring in another veteran guy because, Niskanen's out now, and so you're really relying on 3 younger guys or 3 guys that aren't as experienced in the NHL. And what if someone else goes down? Then you're in big trouble because now you're relying on a lot of younger players or guys that shouldn't be playing every night.
Very true. I mean, we'll see what Brian McCollum comes up with. But as of right now, we got, a lot of Hershey Bears in the lineup. So we'll see what happens there. It's the only way they're going to get better, too, is you want them to get better. They got to play those NHL minutes. So growing pains, that's all it's going to be, is a couple growing pains. So we're going to stay with the Hershey Bears talk, and we are going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck?
What the Puck?
Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, no South Carolina Stingrays. Their season doesn't start for another couple days, but lots of stuff going on in Hershey.
Coach, I got a little bit of stuff on them.
Do you really? All right, well, you know. All right, we'll talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Way to go. I like it. So, Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, Hershey's season hasn't started exactly how they had hoped, losing two games last week, bringing their current season record to 0-2-1 with a shootout loss to Binghamton. Yeah, their home opener they lost, and then they lost in a shootout to Binghamton. So it's not been great. Need a little bit of help. They'll be back at it with back-to-back-to-back games all on the road, starting on Friday in Milwaukee. Then they go to Grand Rapids on Saturday, and they finish their road swing over the weekend on Sunday in Rockford. Now, congratulations are in order for a couple of defensemen as Jonas Sangenthaler scored his first AHL goal, while Lucas Johansson got his first AHL point. So congrats to the gentleman up in Hershey. Heading down to South Carolina, the Stingray season starts this Friday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Greenville, followed up by a road game in Jacksonville. They're called the Jacksonville Icemen. I still find that funny because there ain't no damn ice in Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, you know, like your fridge or something, I'm sure, but that's pretty much it.
They're probably more popular than the Jacksonville NFL team.
No, that's probably true. Other South Carolina news, the Stingrays announced they have signed former Chicago Blackhawk and Columbus Blue Jacket Jeremy Morin to a standard pro contract for the upcoming season. So that's pretty cool for them to have a veteran presence in the locker room. But yeah, that's pretty much what's going on down on the farm.
I saw that that Alex Semin, former Washington Capital, he's over in Russia. He went to college but wanted to continue his hockey career, and he's playing with the VHL, which is kind of like the equivalent of the ECHL. It might even be a little bit lower over there in Russia.
I thought it was the AHL, their version of the AHL.
No, that's not the AHL, is it? KHL or something else? I thought VHL was like the third tier. I'm not positive.
I'm going to Wikipedia this thing.
But it's interesting to see Alex Semin, who was such a big star here for so many years, go back to Russia, play in the KHL, have trouble getting into the KHL again, and now he's playing with like a farm league, which he refused to do over in the U.S.
Well, he was a younger guy then, so let's not pick on too much.
Well, remember when he left for the KHL, Montreal cut him, what was that, 2 years ago? And he refused to go to the AHL team, so he went to Russia.
No, I didn't remember that. VHL, the Supreme – this is all from Wikipedia. Supreme Hockey League, also known as the Major Hockey League or Higher Hockey League. Okay, whatever. Is a professional ice hockey league in Eurasia and the second highest level of Russian hockey.
So they're the AHL. Interesting.
Essentially. They've got 23 teams in Russia, 2 in Kazakhstan, and 2 in China. And which team did you say he signed for?
I don't remember. Hold on one second. Let me get the article up.
Because I don't know any of these.
You're going to have me try to say this. That's the best part.
It'll be fine or not. I don't care. It'll be funny.
Oh, right. He did this. I forgot he did this. He played for the VHL in 2012 so he could play and have his grandmother watch him. I forgot about that.
So is he playing for anybody so, now?
Oh, Jesus. Has signed with hometown Sokol Krasnodar.
Oh, S-O-K-O-L?
I think so. Yeah, good Lord. This is terrible.
Sokol Krasnoyarsk. Oh, they have a cool logo. Kind of.
Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, Alex Semin's playing for the AHL, not my original ECHL idea, but interesting that he would do that. I mean, he's going to school, so, I mean, maybe he's just doing that on the side, like a rec league type of thing.
I would have to imagine that he could probably make it in the KHL, but he's, you know, going back to college, getting a degree, all that, or master. I don't know what he's doing. So it's probably, you know, good for him. Well done.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's pretty much it for the show. Coach Dan, we got everything else? Anything else we got to cover?
No, it's pretty much it. You know, the Caps are struggling a little bit, but they always seem to struggle in the beginning of the season. I think more so now because of the young guys. And I agree that we still need to see more from some of these young guys, like Burakovsky. I'm not overly thrilled with what I've seen from him so far.
Yeah. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can't. Leave me alone.
That's rude.
I don't want anybody to bother me about my crappy sports teams. You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of things Capitals related during the games, after games, before games, in between games, if I remember to do so. I'm also talking about Arsenal Football Club, DC United from time to time. The Skins, not as much anymore. Baseball, thanks Nats for blowing it, as well as some other sports ball related things. But hey, if you enjoy Brandon and I rambling on like I'm doing right now, go ahead and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Get updates on when the show's coming out, as well as Brandon putting all sorts of funny things up there from time to time, as he is known to do. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brandon Cash Entertainment?
Did you like what I put up there about Bowie on Saturday?
No, because I don't think I saw it.
I tried to tag you in it so it would show up on your Twitter, but I said,
hang on, I'm checking. Bowie and Philwee? Oh, Jesus. You know what? Brandon, this is our last show. That's abysmal. That is just so not good.
Bowie and Philwee. Come on.
You suck.
All right. If you need any more comedy gems like that, go over to our check it out. Follow me on Twitter. I'm so full of those dad jokes. And I'm only a godfather. I don't even have my own kid. So definitely go check that out. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher. Is it Apple Podcasts or iTunes? I still don't know. On Apple Podcasts.
Their app sucks.
It does. That's why I use Overcast. Apple Podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, that's my choice, Google Play Music, Satchel, all those places is where you could listen to us, but we do it for free. All we ask in return is for you to please rate us an iTunes review and let your friends know on iTunes, or not iTunes, let your friends know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's talk about the games coming up. There's only two games coming up until we talk again, and they're on Friday and Saturday night. On Friday the 20th, the Capitals are in Detroit at 7:30 to take on the Detroit Red Wings, and that is going to be airing locally on NBC Sports Washington Plus. That'll be going to the brand new Little Caesars Arena, which I've heard is an absolutely beautiful place to watch a game.
Did you see the picture where they have like the whole thing is lit up red?
No, I have not seen
it. I have to imagine, like, the ceiling and everything. You got to imagine Leon's just looking at that going,
Yeah. Yeah, we need something like that in D.C., yeah. All right, so after Detroit, the Caps fly home, and then on the 21st, they are up against the Florida Panthers. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch it locally on NBC Sports Washington, but it will also be a national game on NBC Sports. And apparently everyone locally is confused when DVRing a game because they're DVRing what they think is the Caps game, but it's blacked out on the national channel, so they're missing it. So if you're DVRing it locally here, make sure you have NBC Sports Washington. Look for that extra W at the end. And then they got a nice 4-day stretch where they're nowhere, and they're just chilling out, and then they go to Western Canada. But we will be back before they go to Western Canada and get some Timbits. But
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you were so just – you were too sheltered.
That make me sheltered, dude. the hell is a Timbit?
Oh, you need to you need a role model. I swear.
I'm shaking my head at you, but you can't see me. I'm not using the cameras.
All right, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Dan, thank you so much for joining me. We will be back next week with a brand new show. Until we talk then, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.